Genjigme, thanks for dropping in on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Today, we're really exploring this idea of how we really feel in our heart like we're fitting in, or more importantly, most people feeling like they don't. So maybe we can just really address that first of all. Why is it that we feel like we don't fit in?
I think a load of things. I think there are external pressures on us, like other people's expectations. There's a pressure from outside, from other people's expectations and from society in general to know your place. With the advent of social media now, there's so much more pressure on people because we're getting this constant bombardment of how we should look, what we should eat, you know, what we should do in the day, how much water we should drink in the day. And especially how we should look is a big one for people. So it's so much pressure from outside, while inside we're still not quite sure who we are or who we want to be. And it creates a disconnect. And I think that's a really painful place to be, actually, feeling a bit adrift in this kind of crazy world, not knowing how we fit in or how we should fit in.
We're in a time now that we've always been uncertain about a future. There isn't some perfect mapped out future for any of us. That's just life. But at the moment, it's being amplified by the world we're looking to at the future, and then social media saying, here's the perfect life. This is what you should be having. And by the way, this is what you should be having today. Mm. How on earth can we not develop fear and anxiety on the basis of that?
You know, there's the whole idea of social media, and we think, oh, it's amazing. Now I'm connected to so many people. But we've never felt more alone. And I think you're right. It's because there's so much, it's telling us so much all the time what we should look like, you know, all these things. We're all putting out our best version of ourselves, or so-called best version of ourselves, our prettiest version, our slimmest version. And then that's what we're seeing of everybody else, right? But we know, okay, I'm not really that person because I have to apply a filter. I have to get the lighting right. I have to, you know, I have to hide my bulge. I have to, you know, hide my not perfectly white teeth or all this stuff. So we're putting out this curated image of ourselves, and we know that we don't measure up to that. But then we're comparing ourselves, the real self we think we are, with everybody else's curated image, and they're all looking perfect and amazing. And then we feel that makes us feel even more disconnected, I think, even less like we fit in. And we'll end up beating ourselves up, which is really, really painful, because we're not measuring up to this impossible fantasy standard.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because it feels like it's only when everyone sees that side of me that I'll feel okay within myself. And that's driving a lot of it for a lot of us is I just don't feel I'm enough, or I don't feel I'm good enough. But if I present that image to the world and everybody acknowledges that side of me, or this projected curated side of me, then I'll feel good enough within myself. But it just creates more and more instability. You just feel more and more, even if everyone likes your photo or loves your photo or comments on it, deep inside yourself you'll feel at some level, yeah, but that's not the real me.
Yeah.
You know, nobody sees the real me. Ironically, nobody ever sees the real me. That's ironic because we think, well, the real me is never good enough, and I'm not anywhere near as successful or, you know, as handsome as I project myself. Actually, that's not the real me. But nobody ever sees that because it's just our own perception of ourselves. But it can feel very destabilizing for people, thinking, when can I ever be my true self? Because I'm constantly creating this image that doesn't reflect who I am.
So such an important point. That sense of disconnect from even who we're projecting to the world, or that mask that we're putting up. And we're feeling inside like we don't measure up to that at all. And but actually, deep down, what we really want to do is we want other people to accept us. I mean, I think that's what's driving this. Because we're social animals, we want to be accepted. And you know, people talk about I'm not sure they do anymore, actually, anyway. But they used to. We used to talk about finding a soulmate. What we really want is to find someone who completely accepts us for who we are, you know, someone who we can let our guard down, show them our real self, warts and all, and that they will love us anyway, that they'll accept us anyway. For as long as we are not accepting ourselves, for as long as we're feeling bad about ourselves, we'll never do that, because we fear that as soon as I show, if I show you who I really am, Adam, you're not going to like me, you know? So I'm always going to be, to some extent, like showing you a better version of myself, and a little bit afraid to open up and to drop the guard and to, so we're always a little bit disconnected. We're not. Allowing ourselves to really connect with other people, which I think is driving a lot of this sense of disconnection.
Yeah. Where is it all coming from?
Well, that this bias we have towards listening to negative criticisms and things. I think that comes a lot because we have such a critical inner voice. We're constantly telling ourselves. That we're at fault and that we don't measure up. I was talking to someone the other day, and she said, I thought it was great. She said, our thoughts are not truths, but we buy into them. You know, if we've got these negative thoughts telling us all this negative stuff, we just accept that and believe that. And we build our sense of ourself, our self-image, based on this really critical negative thing. Then we feel we've got to hide. We've got to hide our true self from other people. So it's not surprising that we're feeling disconnected from the world around us. And a huge social anxiety that comes from that. I know people, I was talking to a guy just the other day, and he was telling me how he used to suffer from crippling social anxiety for exactly this reason. He was telling himself so much negative stuff about himself that he felt everybody else was... would criticize him and judge him. Even if he walked out the door, he felt that other people were looking at him and judging his hair and his face and his clothes, and that actually led to him feeling so anxious, so unhappy that he couldn't get out of his own front door. And that's really common, actually. It's a lot more common than we don't see it in the world, because we're hiding it from each other. But in reality, almost everybody's got some degree of this. It's such a common experience.
But isn't that the challenge, though? The challenge for all of us is my thoughts are my truths, because it's all I know. Mm. And my mind is full of these various voices and these various narratives that are playing continually. And that familiar and known voice seems like a truth.
There's this idea about ourselves. But we have to learn to kind of make friends with that inner voice and start to harness it so that it's working for us instead of working against us. It can actually become a great help to us. But I think that starts with, accepting ourselves. You know, it's really important, because for as long as we're in conflict with ourselves and buying into all that negative chatter and comparing that with the world around us, we're always going to feel disconnected and pretty terrible. So we've got to start by accepting who we are.
How can I accept who I am when I don't like who I am, though? Yeah. How can I do that?
Well, I think we need to change what we're focusing on. And for as long as we obsessively focus on our shortcomings or our perceived shortcomings and comparing ourselves against everybody else, we're always going to feel that we don't like ourselves. You know, that self-criticism is actually coming, I think it's coming from partly is coming from a good place, which is that we all want to improve. You know, we all want to be a better person, and we all have a good heart. Deep down, the very fact that we're criticizing ourselves, it shows that we want to be better. The bad feelings in our mind, they're not who we are. The negative thoughts that we have, they're not who we are. So in Buddhism, we have the practice of meditation, mindfulness, as you know, where we can sit and get to know our own mind a little bit, find some peace and stillness in the mind. And that allows us to start to connect more with the good heart, with the potential that we have. So this, I think, is a really important, obviously I'll say this as a Buddhist teacher, but I found this to be really helpful. Instead of recognizing, you know, no, I do want to be a good person. I do want to be a happy person. I do want to bring some benefit to the people around me. You know, these are natural wishes for all of us. But I think if we could sit quietly and let our mind settle down, then we've got much better chance of seeing that potential and identifying with it. My teacher, Geshe Kelsang, he used to say this a lot, actually. It's really, really simple advice, but really, really beautiful. He said, just try and don't worry. And what I really love about that is that that's coming from a place of recognizing I am a good person and I can be a better person.
Within moments, especially if we're constantly distracted during our day and really busy and under a lot of pressure, within moments, you're not identifying thoughts and feelings, you're identified with them and the deep discomfort of feeling like we're that person. So how do we practically do that? Is there a way to, for someone who's in that space, to think, actually, no, I'll do that. I'll sit down and I'll turn in. And
I think, and I'm aware that, like me saying this, right, I'm a meditation teacher is what I do. So of course I'm going to tell people to meditate. But I know it's difficult for people to find that time and to find that space. But it doesn't have to be a long time. It really can be just taking a moment just to sit quietly and try and let your mind settle. And that's not an easy thing to do. Like I said before, right, but nothing that's beneficial is easy or quick. But just taking a few moments to sit, and yeah, we can focus on the breath, something like that. But something else I'd say just before this, I think that's important, because so I know people are going to be thinking, hey, I'm never going to do that. But you can, anyone can do this. It really doesn't have to be a huge big deal. Just trying to find a little bit of peace in the mind and trying to connect with, instead of connecting with the negative thoughts, think, oh, the very fact that I'm beating myself up is coming from a good place. Like, I want to be better. I want to be happier. I want to be better. I want to be a good person. And that is your potential to be a good person. The fact that you've got those wishes. Don't believe all that negative chatter that you're terrible, you're a loser, you'll never amount to anything. You know, it's not true. Actually, it really isn't true. And you can find, no, I've got some good intentions here. I've got some good wishes. Identifying with that instead. And it takes time to do, but it gives us so much more confidence. You know, like Geshe Kelsang says, just try and don't worry. Then you think, well, I'm just trying. Okay. And trying means you're going to be failing sometimes when you're trying something. And you can try a lot, you keep falling down, but you keep picking yourself back up and you keep trying to over time, trying to do that, you're going to make some small changes and they'll start to grow. You'll start to feel better about yourself and more confident about yourself. Anyway, I'm going into one of my meditation teachings now, but one thing I think that meditation has helped me to do is to find a bit more peace and confidence within myself, so that now also maybe trying to think about other people. So then I'm starting to identify more with that than with all those negative feelings. And when the negative feelings come, because of course they still do, you know, and these still thinking I don't measure up or I'm not a good enough person or whatever this stuff is, it's a little bit easier for me to not buy into that and to think, hey, it's just some bad weather in the mind. There's just some clouds in my mind. They'll pass. I don't need to listen to them. I love what my friend said. My thoughts are not truths. You know, this is just some. We say delusion, actually, in the Buddhist language. You know, that delusions are like negative thoughts that aren't true, and if we buy into them, we'll be deluded by them. They're telling us something that's not true. You know that. So just disempowering that negative inner voice and turning it into something a bit more positive, telling yourself, no, I don't have to listen to this. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a loser. I actually have a good intention. So I'm trying. I'm trying my best. Everybody feels like this, you know. I'm not out on my own. That's not a truth. I'm the same as everybody else, you know. So our heart's starting to open and we're starting to feel a bit more better about ourselves.
If that was me listening today, and that is me listening today, when we all listen to that, we think, yeah, but, you know, like, I still have to create this time and space to kind of really connect to that experience and to feel that. Say, let's say, for example, if I'm going to feel it more deeply and more resonantly, I need to create time and space to sit and meditate. But that's so difficult for me to do. Like, what are the practical things I can do when I sit to meditate and I turn in to all those faults and shortcomings arising within my mind? How can I create some distance and begin to see it differently? Is there a practical step I can take?
Now I am giving a meditation teaching. I think, you know, it doesn't have to be a long time. It really doesn't. And just start small. Just start really. If you want to do this, if you want to build up a meditation practice. Also, there's a whole bunch of great books and centers, like our centers. We have centers around the world that you can find them online. You can find your local Kadampa Buddhist Center and find classes that you can go to. So that's really helpful if you want to do that. But you can just start by just taking a few minutes to sit quietly and just try and focus on the breath. You know, that's the simplest of all practices. Just try and keep your attention on the breath. You sit quietly, close your eyes, and the feeling of breath going in and out of your nostrils, focus on that. And just for a moment or two, just for a short time. And because when we keep our mind on something, everything settles down a little bit. And I know not everybody's going to want to do that, but it's a great thing to do. It is one of the kindest things you can do for yourself, actually, is to start to build a little bit of a meditation or mindfulness practice. I think the important thing here is that we've got to learn not to buy into that negative speaking. So the benefit of doing a little bit of meditation is that it starts to give you a bit more control over your mind and a little bit more power to not follow those thoughts and to see the difference in your mind between the vast peaceful space of the mind and the storm clouds that pass through it, you know, not identifying with those storm clouds. That listening to that inner negative voice, it does make us focus like unhealthily. We're focusing so much on our own shortcomings and that we think they must be really obvious to everybody else, even though we're putting up the masks. And so we think everybody else is seeing us and judging us and criticizing us. But in reality, everybody's in their own bubble of pain. You know, everybody else is going around worrying about themselves. Nobody cares about what we look like. Nobody's looking at us and judging us, generally speaking. That's why we have nightmares about being in a situation where everybody is looking at us. We're trying to feel good about ourselves, dependent on other people's approval. And I heard it, I don't know if you heard of this one, FOPO. Have you heard of that? Like, that was a new one on me. I heard about it on a podcast the other day.
Fear of other people's opinion.
That's it, yeah, yeah, instead of fear of missing out, you know. And the two things are kind of related, yeah. Because we want to fit in, we don't want to miss out. So we have the fear of missing out. But then we have a social anxiety that prevents us from getting into those, to mixing with other people and not missing out, because we have a fear of other people's opinions and how we'll be judged. But a lot of that is actually, it's like a pack of cards, what's it called? Like a house of cards. It's built on nothing. There's nothing actually there because people aren't looking at us and judging us. Sometimes a little bit, maybe, but not really.
Just
not
momentarily.
Momentarily.
Because they're worrying what you're thinking about mostly.
Exactly. Most of the time, we're all worrying about what the other guy's thinking about us, you know.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because it's almost like what I'm hearing from you, and I think it's really important, is like you've almost got to get to a point where we really feel like we're living our life as if nobody else is looking.
Yeah, that's an interesting, I've been thinking about this one actually, about do we want to get to a position where we don't care about other people's opinions? And because I've seen that, I've seen some podcasts actually where they're offering that as a.
That's a good point you bring, because I wanted to discuss that with you. It's not that we don't care, because we care about people, it's just we don't mind.
Definitely, and it's a mistake I think a lot of us can make. Like people do this in relationships. If we have a meaningful relationship with somebody, then we do let our guard down, right? We do let them see, or they find out pretty quickly who we are. And then if that relationship breaks down, and then we feel a sense of rejection, then what many people will then do is kind of put a wall up and say, right, that's it. I'm never revealing who I really am to anybody ever again. And that doesn't protect us. It doesn't protect, like saying I don't care what anybody else thinks, and it doesn't actually protect us from because then we just feel more disconnected. We are because we're social animals, and because we have a good heart actually, we really do want to connect with other people, and we do want to kind of deeply care about them, not so much about their negative opinions, whether they're real or imagined. Most of them, 99% of them, we're just imagining. I've often thought about experiences I've had in the past where I built up this whole kind of story in my mind about an interaction with somebody, maybe something they said, and I built it up in my they think this and they think that, and I've turned it into this huge story, and I'm feeling really anxious about it, and then maybe eventually I find the courage to actually talk to them about it and say, hey, you know, you said that thing about me. Well, you know, I'm not really like that. And off we go. And they're like, what are you talking about? I didn't mean that at all. And we've created this whole elaborate story out of nothing, probably coming because of that negativity bias, right? And also, because we think they're obsessively judging us, whereas they weren't talking about, maybe they weren't even talking about us. They were talking about something entirely different.
They can't even remember what you said.
They can't even remember. Yeah, that's usually the case, isn't it? They're like, I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it wasn't a big deal for us. Yeah. But we've turned it into they hate me. Yeah. They hate me. They can't stand my hairstyle or something, and they really don't like who I am.
But it's good to be like really curious about that. Do you know what I mean? It's like the way... That aspect, like, you know, like say your boss sends you an email and just says, can we meet tomorrow? And that's all they say. They don't even say best wishes, just can we meet tomorrow? And then like you're saying, we get into this whole kind of drama in our mind of what they're going to say. I'm going to lose my job, you know, and then we start to worry about like, am I doing a good enough job? Am I good enough? And then the next morning they meet you and they say, you know, I just wanted you to sort this little thing for me. And you're like, oh no. And it's that part of us that arises at that time, that what we want to do in this context, if we're really going to get to a place where we're really at peace with ourselves, is just to get really curious with respect to your own mind, as opposed to judgmental.
Well, there's actually one other kind of main point that I wanted to throw into this conversation about, but I think it is, yeah, this is a practical thing as well, so but an extra thing. Geshe Kelsang, our teacher Geshe Kelsang, he says, and I think it's really beautiful, our sense that we're an island and that we're completely disconnected from that bears no relation to reality. I'm paraphrasing, but he says in reality it's much closer to the truth to see ourselves as being like a cell in the vast body of life, because we do connect with other people and we do, we're not individuals completely separated. And I think we do have that sense. I think maybe the pandemic created some of this, because we were at a remove from other people, and then a lot more of our interactions did become digital and via social media and things. So we can feel like individuals, and then relating to this sea of other individuals. So we feel this sense of disconnect. But there's a beautiful meditation practice we can do, or just way of thinking. We look at how we do actually depend upon everyone else for everything. I mean, for our food and for the water that we drink and for the cars that we drive and the roads and the hospitals. All of these things are created by people. And why is that important? Because it means that actually we are connected on a really deep level with everything, the whole world around us. The whole world is connected, you know, and just on a sort of scientific level, how you know, all the plants in the world create the oxygen, and then we breathe the oxygen, and the animals, and the everything is connected together. So the sense that we are separate, that actually bears no relation to reality. And I think it's a good thing to tell ourselves when we're feeling like we're on our own, we're separate, we're disconnected from everything. Just to do that little thought process, like if you make yourself a cup of coffee in the morning, think about where that cup of coffee's come from and how many different people and animals and plants and all, but certainly people were involved in bringing that cup of coffee to you, you know. Somebody made the mug that you're drinking it from, you know. Somebody grew the coffee, somebody picked the coffee, somebody shipped the coffee, somebody roasted the coffee, you know. Somebody worked in the electrical plant to create the electricity that heated your water. And somebody laid the copper pipes to your house to carry that electricity. And pretty soon, if you do this, it's quite a fun thing to do. You can connect like pretty much the whole world to your cup of coffee, and how interdependent it all is. So that sense of isolation that we are and loneliness and disconnect that we have, it really doesn't bear any relation to reality. So I think that's that thinking more in that way. So when we're walking out and seeing other people, feeling that there is actually some connection on some level, we have a connection with everybody. Also, remembering that everyone's going through their own experience of loneliness and anxiety and worrying about other people's opinions. And like this is a really common burden for all of us. It's completely normal, and we're all experiencing it. And just recognizing that, as we've explored, I think that does... In your heart, you feel closer to others. There's a sense of empathy and a compassion, and that is undermining and dissolving away that feeling of separation. And also, because that's our good heart talking to us, because we're empathizing with other people, that's undermining this negative self-image we have of ourselves. Instead of continually focusing on all the negative ideas we have about ourselves, now we're focusing on our good heart, because we're thinking about other people and empathizing a little bit more with them. And like Geshe Kelsang says, just try and don't worry. When we find ourselves like catastrophizing, thinking about what other people think about us, feeling like we don't fit in, all these things, like, try and take a step back from those thoughts. I mean, this is just bad weather in the mind, right? So some days it's very stormy in my mind. Some weeks there's a lot of storms going on, you know, but they do pass. They will pass, and they're not my true nature. They're not who I really am. And we need to get to know ourselves, right? We need to identify with who we really are. And that takes time. It takes time for us. But I think the important thing, the main thing that I'd say to anybody listening to this is who you really are is not those negative thoughts, you know, And the feeling and the idea that we're separate from everybody else, that's a fantasy. The perception of everybody else having a fantastic life and we're the only loser in the whole school or the whole workplace or the whole society, that's not true at all. They all feel like that, really. Sometimes the people who look the coolest, they're the ones who are struggling the most. They're like these swans that are gliding by looking amazing, but underneath they're paddling away furiously to maintain that appearance. And thinking in these ways, I think, is just really helpful to feel a bit more at peace in ourselves and to feel a bit more connection with other people.
Perfect. Gen Jigme, thanks so much for today. I think there's so much in there for folks. So hopefully everyone can take away something from that can help them in that journey and begin to at least start that journey to exploring that more and more. So thanks so much for dropping in today.
Thank you, Adam. I've really enjoyed this. I feel like I hope it helps some people. Yeah.
Thank you.